Good afternoon, it's Dr. Charles Benz, and you are listening to Healing Trends with Dr. Benz. And every week we try to bring you the latest scientific medical news about what's going on that might be valuable and interesting to our listeners. And we have some really good ones today. We just finished the first half of the taping, which was chronic illness in men in the news. And then this one is going to be women's chronic illness in the news. So John Barson is with us today, and we had a good time with the men's one because there were so many things to talk about. We kind of went overboard and spent more time on it than we probably should have. So we're going to be a little bit briefer, but we're going to do the same thing. We're going to give people the title of the article so that they can look it up, because we just can't seem to get all the facts in all these articles that we read. So we're going to give the highlights of the articles and then let you all go and kind of look it up for yourself if it's something of real interest to you. So the first one, I think John and I agreed on this, was the one that the heading is Heart Disease is Not a Man's Disease. Doctors say this year 24,000 Canadian women will die of it. And so this is a
every
really...
Every 22 minutes in Canada, a woman dies of a heart attack.
Wow. And the subheading down a little bit ways is, heart disease kills five times more women than breast cancer in Canada. I mean, that was a shocker. When my wife heard that, she went, really? That's the headline right there. And I think she's right. And this was the Canadian Women's Health Heart Center at the University of Ottawa. And they're the ones that came up with all these statistics and all these numbers. And there's one of our friends from the University of British Columbia that was involved in it too. And so what's happening? It sounds like from these researchers' perspective, women are dying younger than they did before. They're having issues like high blood pressure that they haven't had before, to the extent that they see men having these pressures. And so they're having some of the same problems. They're having weight problems. They're having blood pressure problems and having stress problems. But I don't think we had any great studies that kind of showed the trend line for women. And this is a Canadian study. I'm not sure that there's a U.S. study that says the same thing, but I would be very, very surprised if the U.S. statistics weren't almost the same as the Canadian ones. They usually are.
Well, the historic bias is quite responsible for the fact that women are understudied in science. The bias to the male standard of biology and the perception that women are too complicated to study means that drugs, surgeries, and even public health interventions have been tested on men and male lab animals and has led to standard therapies and treatments that work for men, but less well or not at all on women. And it has implications for everything from cardiovascular health, which we're going to talk about here, to pain control. I mean, just look at the reports we're seeing in the media, women that are having symptoms, side effects, and whatever you want to call it, over the past 2 years. Not sure what they're doing that created these new symptoms, but you can, you know, do your own research. And so many of them are just being ignored by their doctors. Like, you're hysterical, you're emotional, it's your stress, it's your... Doctors aren't listening to women.
Yeah, they're dismissing them. I think you're right on, John, that men have been dominating the medical scene for so long that we don't end up with an equal amount of female data. And when this comes out, it's like shocking. Well, it shouldn't be shocking. They should have been tracked right along. But as it says in this article, the symptoms are a little bit different. The experiences that women have, I mean, when you look at even the 18 to 35 age group, there's changes going on. And so it's not only about hormones, which would be a group like 35 to 50 or 60. It's even younger than that. It's one of those things where when you look at breast cancer, I think the whole issue about breast cancer is that women start to get tested in their 50s. You know, well, wait a minute, breast cancer starts in your late 20s. It doesn't start in your 50s. That's when mammograms can see anything, because it takes you 10 years at a doubling of every 90 days of the cancer in order to get to a tumor large enough that mammogram can see it. But that's not the point. We've been telling women on this show for the longest time now, thermography is the way to get tested, because it'll show 200 cells that are starting to become stressed. that if they're not paid attention to, they will become cancerous. There's a high likelihood they would become cancerous. So it's the late 20s when these things start. This is when women should start to get thermography, and they should get their vitamin D3 tested, because those two things alone would give them a chance to prevent breast cancer by about 80%.
Just Grassroots Health, in their studies, the studies that they've been analyzing, show that if you have your blood serum level above 70, between 70 and 90, that fact alone is shown to reduce breast cancer by over 70%.
Right.
Just
exactly
getting your vitamin D3 levels up.
Yeah. And so we think there are probably similar things. When they say the blood pressure is up, this is the manifestation that women have been in the workforce, not getting equal pay, but now they're getting equal illness. In fact, to some extent, they're getting more illness, especially the cardiovascular type. And it's because they're balancing two lives, you know, they're trying to raise families and do a job at the same time. I think that's definitely a factor. And so they end up being stressed and they end up having high blood pressure. And so I think this is going to lead, I hope it leads to some serious studies being done to show that, well, women aren't necessarily more fragile than men. They're just getting into the same situation of having these, in fact, dual careers where they're actually in more jeopardy than men are, which probably men spend more of their time with their business and less of their time with their families. But women feel obligated to spend an equal amount of time on both. And so it's a unique situation. And we probably should have a woman on this panel to tell us a little bit more about what's going on. But you and I do enough research that I think we can at least give an overview of what we think might be some of the things that women can do to address this problem.
Well, one thing they can do is somehow we have to encourage women to break through that glass ceiling. I mean, by far the majority of these scientists and researchers are male. And currently about 2/3 of heart disease clinical research focuses primarily on men. So women are just being ignored for the most part. That's depressing.
Well, I hope these headlines bring that out. And I hope that eventually you get these doctors like Dr. Paula Harvey, a cardiologist at Women's Hospital in Toronto. I hope that she can sort of gather the evidence and try to get more women involved in these studies and more of her female doctor friends involved in these studies. Because we want to learn from the men. In other words, we've learned enough that we know that blood pressure is kind of the silent killer. And we also know that there's ways to address the blood pressure. A vegetarian diet, you know, more plants in your diet will lower your blood pressure. If you're able to get more sun, you can lower your blood pressure. So going out for lunch and sitting in the sunshine and eating your lunch is going to be better than if you sat in the office and did it. But I think exercise is important. And a lot of times there's just not enough time left in the day for a woman who has these two careers or this career and her family going on to do the exercise, because she's saying, well, I do enough steps every day, you know. But in terms of heart disease, it's really important to plan for that half hour, that 45 minutes. And I know a lot of women that do that. I mean, they're super better organized than we are when it comes to managing time and getting these things into their lives. But I think we need to have more studies done to verify what you and I think is the case. And I think we're going to find that women are deficient in magnesium just the way men are. And that's one of the problems with blood pressure, that the magnesium levels are not being tested properly. And the way to do that is to get the RBC magnesium test, which is a more effective magnesium test. And that will give you a better idea of what your actual magnesium levels are. Because what do they do when you send somebody to the hospital that's having a heart attack? They put them on an IV with magnesium. I mean, it's just ridiculous that they do this stuff in the ambulance on the way to the hospital to save the life of the person. But then they'll go to the doctor afterwards and say, okay, what do I do? Well, you need to take this drug, this statin drug or this. And then it's crazy, because we just did a show showing that all these different drugs deplete a lot of nutrients. So I hope people pay attention to this one and then go back and listen to the other one about the Dr. Rona article about the depletion of all these nutrients from all these prescription medications. So the bottom line is, I hope that women learn that the medical profession really doesn't have a handle on treating men, let alone treating women naturally and doing the things from the standpoint of diet and supplements that will allow them to reduce their blood pressure, reduce their risk of heart disease and strokes. Because the science is there, John. The science is there. They don't need to do this.
I'm actually looking at a study on women right now. Actually done on women. I know, it's strange, but they did this. About women and heart disease. And in this particular study that was reported on back in 2017 on CBC, female hormones protect against heart damage from body clock disruptions. What the study has discovered, finally, I guess, the study proves that the hormone estrogen influences how women are affected by heart disease, offering even some protection before menopause. And this is going to be our segue into what we're going to be talking about here. So there is something we're going to be chatting about that disrupts women's hormones.
Yes, exactly. And I think that give the women the title one more time. Heart disease is not a man's disease. Doctors say this year, 24,000 Canadian women will die of it. Just put that into your search engine and you're going to get a lot of the details that John and I weren't able to kind of cover today. But the segue, I think, is from the one that has the title, at 26, she had a stroke. Now she wants others to ask questions about birth control. And I think,
that's the one.
That's the one, exactly. And we had a program on this about the dangers of birth control and the impact that it could have on the hormones in the body. So now you've got a woman actually stepping up and saying, wait a minute, in my early 20s to have a stroke, what's something that probably might have been a precipitator of that? And she came to the conclusion that birth control could have been a factor because it does mess around with your woman's hormones. So
greatly.
Greatly, yes. And so each year, as many as 15% of strokes in the United States happen with people between the ages of 18 and 45. And so that's a high number for that age group. I mean, that's pretty significant. And again, blood pressure is the hidden disease for sure. What was your take on the whole thing from hormones that you were mentioning?
Well, it's common knowledge that there are some serious side effects from birth control. And I did research into it, as we've talked about in the past, because of the interview I did with a long-retired Harvard researcher who brilliantly created a product, a natural product to help women with birth control that has no hormonal side effects whatsoever. And in fact, she created the formula after her friend's daughter, at 24, had died from a blood clot from a hormone dispensing implant. And I'm going to say the product is Smart Women's Choice. And I encourage every woman listening to look into Smart Women's Choice, because there have been zero pregnancies and tens of thousands of women that have experienced new life by using Smart Women's Choice. Is you only use it when you're having sex, so it's not affecting your body at all, and it's hypoallergenic. And on top of that, it was studied in an Israeli lab. Women's health centers in Israel actually dispense the Smart Women's Choice to their clients, but they went one step further and sent it to a lab for testing, and we actually have that information and the lab results on Total Health Magazine. If you Google Smart Women's Choice on Total Health Magazine, you'll get all the articles and the science behind that product. But what was really interesting was under the microscope, they showed on a slide they had sperm, and we all know how sperm react. They're swimming around like crazy, and they put one drop of a very diluted Smart Women's Choice on the slide, and within a minute plus, all the sperm just like totally stopped, went to sleep, clumped up, and were done.
Wow.
That was quite interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite fascinating. So this is a major alternative to birth control, and I'm going to say that. I've got no connection to that company, and there's no affiliate, no nothing. I just encourage women listening, please, especially if you have daughters, look into Smart Women's Choice. It's amazing, and it should be everywhere.
Wow. So, you know, I guess most women understand that every birth control pill is either made from estrogen or progesterone. And so you're getting the dosages that are going to unbalance your hormones. I mean, that's the thing that I think I'm taking from this, is that the imbalance that occurs because of this over an extended period of time gives your body messages. And the body's always trying to balance itself, always trying to do homeostasis. And the downside of that is that you end up with blood clots and you end up with hormonal challenges, and any one of which could cause the problem that this lady had with her stroke. And so I think that's great, John, that you have a background about this product and about the science behind it, because that's the kind of stuff we need, information we need to get to women.
Well, according to the American Migraine Foundation, the science that they're doing shows that taking hormonal birth control can, they say, slightly, I guess they don't want to get canceled, increase a woman's risk of stroke. So do you want to increase your risk of stroke, or do you just want, and let's also address the elephant in the room. Birth control isn't 100% effective.
No, exactly. And so that product you're talking about is 100% effective.
100% effective.
And so you greatly reduced your risk at the same time as increasing your effectiveness. And so I think that's fantastic that you've been doing work on them. There's actually an article in Total Health Magazine that explains it.
Several articles.
Okay. Well, then I really like the fact that the older women in the audience can tell the younger women in their lives that this is an option that they should be paying attention to, because a lot of them, the older women, took these birth control pills in the 70s and 80s when there was kind of like a liberation. I mean, my wife says that when those pills came out, it was like everybody said, oh, finally, we have an option here that is easy and effective. Now, what they didn't know, because obviously, I guess they weren't able to do long-term studies. I mean, you can do studies in mice, I guess, and rats, and because they have a different lifespan than we do, and you can maybe find out some of these things. We'd have to go back in the records and find out, you know, what kind of testing did they actually do on these birth control pills? Because I didn't remember at the time that there was any kind of science coming out in the 80s and 90s about the dangers of it.
Right. Well, I think that women that are on birth control, they should be getting regular checkups with their doctors. And don't just write off the headaches and the migraines as hysteria or something. That's a serious indicator that there might be something wrong, because you're on birth control.
Right. Yeah, I had a 50-year-old woman ask me yesterday what she should she do in terms of getting on top of these things. She was thinking about getting a comprehensive exam, and should she wait for the exam to tell her some things are happening that she needs to address, or should she address the hormonal issues now because she's in this sort of menopausal period? And I said, look, I would always recommend for you to get a good saliva test, because the saliva test is much better than a blood test for hormones, because the body does a better job of balancing hormones in blood because it's designed to do that, whereas there's no balancing going on in saliva. And so when you get the saliva test and you get the results, then the doctor will be able to write a script for you to balance your hormones, but they should be a plant-based hormone choice. And so this is one of the other things. If they're doing some of these things with horse urine, then this can also increase the risk of heart attack and stroke and cancer. So I would say, in terms of getting your hormones tested, you want to make sure that if you're doing any hormone balancing, you're doing it with plant-based hormones if possible.
Would you recommend that a person find a good compounding pharmacy?
Oh, absolutely. They're the only ones that can do it. I mean, regular just pharmacies that are from Walmarts and Costco and places like that, all they can do is dispense pills. They don't compound anything. And so it has to be a good compounding pharmacy. And then they will send the script. The doctor will fill the script out. But after 3 months, you need to have your hormones tested again, another with another saliva test. Now, it may be $120, $150. I don't know whether it's covered by insurance, but I hope it is. And then, because your body will take 3 months to kind of balance those hormones based on what the prescription's doing. And so then you get the re-prescription of, and now you can use that for a year. And then every year you get another saliva test. So to me, that's what I was recommending to her. And she hadn't heard about all this stuff. And she was very grateful to have that information. So I think there's a way to get younger women better controlled with birth control. And there's a way to get hormones balanced later on in life when the hormones start to shift around a lot, because they do shift around. And by the way, whenever you're adding fat around the hips and waist, that's all because estrogen is a cofactor or something that is actually made in the fat. And so when your estrogen levels are going down, you add weight around your middle so that you can make more estrogen, because now your body's trying to compensate. And so it'll throw weight right on that part of your body for that purpose. They want it closer to the source of where the estrogen is needed that they can get. And so it's right around the hips, right around the hips. So we don't know enough to go any deeper than this. We only know enough to be dangerous, John. We don't know enough to go deeper into it. We'd have to be a woman and have done a lot of research on women's health issues. But I think we did enough to kind of help get people to be curious about it and look at the study. And the last one on our list is a really, really good story, by the way. And again, this one is in Vitality magazine, and it's called Success Story: How I Treated My Stage 4 Breast Cancer with Integrative Medicine. And this is really, really a great story, because not only did she go the conventional route at the beginning with some chemotherapy, but she also came up with some things like vitamin C IVs in order to protect herself further. And she used some new things like ultraviolet light and ozone therapy. And I really like the fact that she's using these more creative, innovative ways to treat the cancer. And I think that's why this is an article that's kind of worth paying attention to. She's a 6-year survivor now. This is a big topic for me, because I have to give a presentation to the Annie Appleseed Conference in Delray Beach, Florida in February.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, the whole thing is going to be about adjunctive therapies. In other words, yeah, you're doing this therapy over here. I know this is the one your doctor likes. It's a chemotherapy, and maybe it's an immune therapy, but it really doesn't matter, because all the adjunctive therapies that I'm going to be recommending can be done with these other therapies, and they can continue on after that therapy is done. And so that's the main thing, these natural therapies that work. And her using this ozone therapy and heat and laser, these are all good therapies that I'm going to add to my list to consider when I give my talk in February of next year. And if you're interested, please look up the Annie Appleseed Conference. I think it's around the February the 18th to the 21st in Delray Beach. And I will be there, and this will be the first live presentation that I will have given since the beginning of COVID.
Is that going to be broadcast, out of curiosity?
They always broadcast it, but to tell you what, you know, Annie doesn't miss a trick. She makes sure that people have to pay for those broadcasts. So she has her own recording company that does this. And so there won't be any big media coverage of it that's going to be able to be available to people. But I'm going to have copies of my talk.
Are we going to be able to publish your report in Total Health? Let me ask you that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to publish it in Total Health. And hopefully we'll be able to get a recording eventually. But at the same time, I think the main thing is that we're going to have the written document, and it's going to be, and you'll be the first to get it. You usually get the full report. A lot of other people want to sort of break it down and get a smaller version. But thank goodness that, John, you're always able to give the full coverage. And this might be one of those ones that you do a special report on.
That's my plan. I like to do it that way, because that way we publish all the science, all of the information. To me, it's much like the mechanism of action of chlorella or oil of oregano. You've got to have all the parts. You can't just have one component.
Yeah. Well, you know, she has a good strategy, and she has an ongoing strategy, which I like about her. But she said, number one, remove the sources of the carcinogens. A lot of oncologists don't pay attention to where this disease came from. And so she's looking at the root canals in her teeth, and she's looking at the fillings, the mercury fillings, and a lot of other things. And so she's doing some good research to find out where did this possibly come from. Then she's supporting the immune system with high levels of vitamin D and vitamin C and nitric oxide. And then she's doing increased cellular energy. She's increasing the energy output in the cells so they can heal better. That's a brilliant decision on her part to do that. It's very, very important. Starve the cancer, get rid of the sugar and the carbohydrates, and then create a hostile environment for these cancer cells.
I want to add something here. And the reason is, I actually got this email at 9:28 a.m. this morning from EWG, the Environmental Working Group. which I encourage our listeners to please visit the Environmental Working Group, subscribe to their newsletter, and follow them. Unfortunately, we're airing this program after the FDA's closing public comments, but they have this program to make sure that everybody tells the FDA, get dangerous chemicals out of our food. Get this, it's the FDA's responsibility to keep our food safe and healthy, but they have woefully failed in that duty. Get this, nearly 99% of food chemicals introduced since 2000 were approved by the food and chemical industry and not the FDA.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
99%. And in this particular email, the three that they're really highlighting, some of the worst chemicals, potassium bromate, a carcinogenic chemical used in bread, banned in Europe, and found in more than 130 packaged foods here. Titanium dioxide, a DNA-damaging additive found in more than 3,000 packaged foods. The EU has deemed this chemical no longer safe for human consumption, but the FDA hasn't reviewed it in more than 50 years. And the third and last one here, BHT, which can disrupt thyroid functions, that's always in the news, isn't it, is found in popular cereals.
Wow. So where did that come from, and how can people access that information, John? What's their source?
That's on the Environmental Working Group's website, EWG. This is an action alert that I got from them actually this morning. And okay. Unfortunately, we only have until tomorrow. We're recording this on the 6th, and it's actually the FDA's public comments are closing tomorrow, October the 7th. But yeah, follow the EWG. They've got the Safe Cosmetics database. They've got the Dirty Dozen Clean 15 for foods. A lot of these cancers that we're suffering from, so many of them are as a result of our diets.
What would be the title of that? That's the Environmental Right Working Group, but what would be the subtitle that they would go under to look under that Environmental Right Working Group?
Tell the FDA, get dangerous chemicals out of our food.
Okay, dangerous chemicals out of the food. All right, perfect. Well, I think that's wonderful. That's fantastic advice. I'm so glad that you got that in your email feed recently. The other things that this woman talked about, she talked about sauna, and there's a company in Canada that she really likes their sauna product, which is also able to help treat cancer because heat is one of the things that cancer doesn't like.
Infrared,
exactly.
I love infrared saunas.
And so that's important.
It detoxes you too. The infrared sauna, like the biggest thing about the infrared sauna is it detoxes.
So I like the fact that she's doing that, and she's probably going to do that on an ongoing basis, not just at the beginning and ongoing of her treatment. And so these are things that people can pay attention to. And again, we need to get the people to go to Vitality Magazine, okay? And Vitality Magazine, the title is Success Story, How I Healed My Stage 4 Breast Cancer with Integrative Medicine. And so you can go there and you get far more details than John and I were able to cover today. We were on a bit of a time deadline with our show today, so we're going to ask everybody to bear with us as we pay some attention to our sponsors and sign off with my friend John Barson in a few minutes. The sponsors for Healing Trends with Dr. Benz is CardioMiracle. It's a nitric oxide product with 53 different ingredients in it that help to promote and sustain levels of nitric oxide in your body, which is one of the main biochemicals that helps your body to repair damage being done to your arteries. The other sponsor list in the list is Paddock Pools. And Paddock Pools has a vacuum extractor that takes off the chlorine gas from the surface of the pool, allowing people to swim in highly oxygenated water. Oxygen is an amazing thing, but if you get too much chlorine gas in your system, you get a depletion of zinc and vitamin D3. So if you have a chance or an opportunity to put a pool in your community, contact Paddock Pools in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and they'll tell you about their vacuum extractor unit. DHA Labs is another conscientious company, and they do testing of all kinds, blood and urine and genetics. And they've been doing it for longer than anybody else at the cellular level. In other words, they're trying to find cellular changes that can allow you to maybe identify some diseases that are developing 5 to 10 years before they actually manifest in a disease. I know that's what I'm trying to do with them, and I have 8 tests already that they've collaborated with me on and are available on my website, drcharlesbenz.com. Another one of our sponsors is MPB Health. That's a relatively small medical cost sharing company. It's like insurance, but not insurance. It really promotes wellness, and it looks at how to negotiate better rates for the doctors and the hospitals, and it's able to actually get the cost down by 30 to 50% compared to regular health insurance. So MPB Health, go online, they have videos to look at, and they have an 800 number to call. This might be your solution to the high cost of healthcare insurance. And finally, Beacon Point Advisors. These are financial advisors. There's 50 offices across the country. They're extremely ethical. They've screened their owners very, very carefully to make sure that they're all upfront about everything they do and also paying attention to health and wellness as well as wealth. So Beacon Point Advisors, contact one of their offices. I have one here in Sarasota that I've been working with for years. 20 years I've been working with this particular company to get his clients to be healthier. And we think eventually Beacon Point's going to be doing that in all their offices across all the states in the 50 different offices they have. So thanks to our sponsors. They're wonderful. They really help us a lot to carry the show off. And they're doing their job. We're doing ours. We're trying to get everybody educated. And as always, I'd like to thank my friend John Barson, chief researcher and chief everything at Total Health Magazine. So, John,
thanks. Coca-Cola washer.
Thanks for everything, and we'll see you the next time, everybody. Okay, bye now.